the Sultan of the Soapbox Cockerel, and joining me, as always, are the people you're really here to see. That is Steve, the door-to-door geek, McLaughlin, and Eric, the executive, the manager, the boss man, Ardini. Welcome back, gentlemen. Glad to have you here on this show where we talk about Android apps, Android phones, and all sorts of cool stuff. How you doing, guys?
Mark, I got to say, I'm doing good. Today was a big day in the Ardini house. Ardini Mansion North got destroyed today.
All right. You've been working on that one for a while.
Yep. I bought the house next door back in April of last year, and I've been slowly harvesting nice old wood and trim pieces out of it, and doors and any other cool old stuff I could find, because it was built in 1860. And today was the day the rest of it kind of finally got knocked down.
Cool. What about yourself, Dor?
Oh, man. Just, building up to what I call a double painful weekend, because it's both a 8-year-old's birthday, a.k.a. my youngest son, and Valentine's Day. So the money is just leaving the McLaughlin household at record pace.
I understand that. And also waiting in the wings, silent up until this point, is the man of the hour, Mr. Kayser Ijaz. He is the developer of the Castback app that I've been talking about so much. Hey, Kayser, how are you?
Hi. Hello, everyone. I'm fine.
Great.
Thank you.
We really appreciate having you here. And so we promised Kayser that we would keep it quick, and we told him about 10 minutes, and that was, I think, 25 minutes ago. So we're going to jump straight into it. Just a little background, and then I'll tell them a little bit about the app and how I know that it came to be, and then you can go from there. So for years, I've been wanting a way to combine the audio part of a podcast, the playing part, and the community part. And I know people now often say, oh, well, that's SoundCloud. Well, SoundCloud wasn't around when I was thinking about this thing a while back. But SoundCloud isn't quite what I wanted. But the idea was that while you're listening to a podcast, you could comment on in line with the podcast. That would be stored somewhere on a server. And then as somebody else is playing it back, they would say, hey, somebody commented here. And so in real time, but asynchronous real time, that was the beauty of it. So real time within the context of the podcast, at exactly 5 minutes and 11 seconds, you could all have the same conversation, whether you listen to it a week apart or a year apart. And so Kayser contacted me and said, hey, this sounds like a great thing. I'd like to take a stab at it. And I said, would you please? And so it's been in private beta for a while, and now it's in public beta, and we've talked about it at length about this show. And so Kayser is the guy who made that happen. So ready, go. So, Kayser, tell us about your experience. What made you think you wanted to tackle this? Is this your first app?
Yes, actually it is. And the EDL app that was initially that is the base of for this app was kind of personal experience, learning experience, and then wanted to have that idea implemented. To see that if I could do it or not, and that is how this all started. It was actually back in 2014, I guess.
Right, that sounds and, about right. So, it started as the Everyday Linux app just for our show, and then started developing, we thought, well, why not? Why restrict this to one podcast? Let's make this a full-on podcast player. And so you can now, Kayser, tell us some of the features of it, just from top to bottom. What is implemented right now? And as I said, it's still in public beta, so it's still rough. excuse me, but it's really and I'm not just flattering you. It's really solid for a beta. The problems, and they're not really problems, they're just features that haven't yet been implemented. But in terms of functionality, it's rock solid. So just give us an overview of what the app is and what it does and where you're hoping to take it in the future.
It is a podcast player, and the basic functionality that you could download a show or stream a show, and it has a nice download manager, and you can sign in with the Google your Google account, Google Plus account actually, and you can post a comment on the show while it is playing. It lets you basically post the comment on a specific timestamp, and when another user is listening to that show, they can open up the comment section and see all the comments that other users posted, and you can enable the notification for that one particular show. Or actually, I'm thinking about adding a switch to enable the notification for one specific feed, so that the user could see could get the notification for all the episodes of that one particular show.
I think that's a great idea.
It has variable playback speed. Yes, and has variable playback speed thanks to you. And
and when he says thanks to me, he means I browbeated him until he included that. this sort of back and forth that we've had is he produces some really great work, and I got to compliment you. I don't know if you're doing the graphic design or if you've got a UI guy. The UI is really beautiful, and it's smooth, and it just works. I really feel almost guilty because he brings me this beautiful thing, and my immediate response to is, it's great, but I want this now. I commented.
And actually,
go ahead.
Yes, please. And actually, that is kind of the thing that drives this app from the very start. That drives this app to the point where it is now.
And it's only going to grow. And just for our listening audience, Kayser is literally a half a world away at this point. So there's a bit of a delay. So we'll be talking over a little bit, each other a little bit. So I apologize in advance for that. So Dor, I brought this to you. You heard about it listening to the Everyday Linux show, but then we brought it to this show and we've been talking about it. And of course, the first thing you said is, I can't even use it if it doesn't have variable speed playback. And then the next thing you said is, I need to be able to import my feeds. And we have both of those things now. So I have been personally using it as my daily driver for not long, honestly. It's been an experimental. It wasn't ready for that for a while, but now it is. It's still missing some of the core features that I know we'll talk about in a minute in terms of things upcoming. But, Dor, what are your overall impressions of it so far?
Well, like you said, I think the UI layout and the transition from interface to interface is among the smoothest I've seen of any podcasting app this young, because I've been in with all of the betas. I was using Android before Dog Catcher was even a thing. I bought it when it was brand new on the Google Play Store. So I've seen a lot of podcasting applications, and this one to me is off to among the cleanest starts of any of them. And the other ones were they were crazy buggy when I started playing with them. The variable playback speed is one of those things a lot of apps don't do right, and he's doing it in such a fashion. I can crank this thing up to 2.7, and there's no stutter, there's no jitter, there's no issues. Some of them, I do remember, would just randomly crash when I turned it up too fast. So I think this is well on its way to becoming the podcast player.
Eric, are you with us? I know you're having some technical difficulties.
I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. So, yeah. So tell us, what are your impressions, your thoughts on it?
Well, I just want to thank Kayser for the work that he's put into this. And honestly, the requests that we personally put into it, he's implemented so quickly. And like Dor said, right out the door, this was right up there with all of the other podcasting apps that were already, you know, established. And he implemented all of the things that you want or you need, and now he's adding the things that we want. And it's been my daily driver for a month or two, I would say at least. And it's been fine for me. I don't do variable speed. I don't export my OPML files. So I'm kind of a basic user, and it's performed well. There's a couple things that didn't work right off the bat, which I'm easy. I worked around them just fine, but even without me asking, the application has grown and now supports things that I kind of wished for but didn't care. You know, I was like, okay, I can live without that, but this is fine. No, now he's giving me everything that I had plus a great looking interface. You're right, Mark. The UI in this is really nice. And I thank you, Kayser. Thank you.
Right now, this is, you know, an Android show. It's an Android app. Are there plans to release it on iOS at any point?
That could be happening, but not sure when.
Okay.
When we have a solid base at Android, then we can actually start to think about other platforms.
Great. I know one of the things
and as you also, know,
I'm sorry. One of the things that we've also talked about is a web version of it, where you know, even if you're sitting at your desk and you want to listen, and I think that's great. You know, particularly if you could do the thing that technology has promised but has never really delivered is synchronizing playback position, so I can start it on my computer and pick it up on my phone and resume it on another device. I know that's one of the things that we've talked about, and I'm just amazed at your ability to implement technical things like that. You know, the fact that having the commenting database was a difficult thing, and you made it happen, and then we made some other changes like the OPL ML import export that totally required you to totally change the data structure, and you just, okay, I'll do that, talk to me tomorrow. you're kind of the Wizard of Oz, I gotta say.
Yes, that was the hard part, implementing the database, and then changing was kind of tricky because the app was using the older database, the structure of that, but that is working now, and the timestamp that it includes is the time of the audio that is playing. That it saves on the server, and then the HTML part actually that we talked about a bit earlier is actually possible. But at this point, I'm not sure how that is going to work. But I look into that after figuring out the core features or implementing the remaining features that are basic to the functionality.
So let's talk about those features. Just give us the top five or six things that are coming in the future.
At this point, the number one is playlist on my list, and afterwards don't have any sort of that major or big features, but let's see. If you guys have anything, please let me know.
Oh, I think you know at this point that I will.
Well, yeah, we'll come in.
Well, and I'll admit I'm a super niche user. You're not going to have too many like me. I even sent you my OPM file because I said it isn't importing right, but then after I got the app update and I tried it again, I stopped and thought, I'm not sure, because what I didn't realize was after I did that, I had confidence. So I hit import, I hit my OPM file, and I hit it, and I only saw 5 again. And then I was like, what? And then 6, and then 7. So I didn't realize it was still loading it. So if there was some kind of progress indicator during the OPML import process, I think that would have helped me at least know that, oh, it's still working. That's really the only, I'll say, feature I could see putting in to help users, but I know I'm not the majority of the people out there. The one thing I wanted to ask you about really quick, and Mark, I don't know if you knew about this, there's a report out literally today that is saying SoundCloud might be well on its way out of business after it had a loss today of over $44 million.
Wow.
This is the kind of thing, dare I say, that could drive people to start looking for something different very soon. So I think the timing on this app might turn out to be really, really good.
Yeah, I that's news to me, and it must be because they're licensing the songs that they put on there. That's got to cost them a lot of money, I suppose. Yeah. Kaiser, I wonder how. And have you thought of scaling? I mean, as your user base grows and as the participating podcasts grow, and you talk about storing these timestamps and comments on a server, do you have any issues or thoughts of scaling problems at all with the app?
The scaling isn't actually planned, but at this point, all I have in mind is that I would like to leave this project in a state that the app is easy to use, usable, and it is reliable. As far as the scaling goes, that I don't have any particular user base actually grows and the database of the shows that have commerce enabled have to pay for more bandwidth and more server hostage and so on. And don't have any particular plans at this point.
I just kind of wondered if you would use this and offer it as a service to podcasters, And if they wanted, and as a premium feature of your podcast player, a podcast could then subscribe to allow their listeners to comment or something like that to help pay for that.
That could happen, but Mark and I actually talked about this this particular feature a little while ago, but not sure that how that is going to work. And because the focus is on the core features, didn't it really that this could be happening, but not sure at this point.
Yeah, I think, you know, if we could get some of our core podcasts and our core podcast users using this program to listen to and actually start some discussions and start tagging parts of podcasts more, and maybe if we could throw it out there, and I think as more people find value in that, because you know it's a brand new technology. I know Mark's thought about it for a long time, but it's brand new to everybody. And once people start finding the value in it, more podcasts might, you know, also it's like, oh man, I wish I could do that.
One of the things I would say is at this point, it is a free app. It's out there and it's free. And we've never really talked about monetization. I don't know what your plans are, Kaser, but I know that I personally would pay $8 for this app without thinking about it. And I don't pay for anything. I'm the cheapest guy on the planet, but the functionality that this provides and how smoothly it works, even now in its beta, I would not hesitate to throw money at you. So I think that at some point, and I know you're not ready there, it's still working on getting a stable base, but I really hope that this turns into something that's going to throw money at you. I really want that for you because, as Dor said so many times on the show, things that make money stick around. And so that's my motivation, not just because I think you're a swell guy and I want to throw money at you, but I want this project to stay around, and I'm willing to pay that, and I think other people will be. Dor and Eric are more free with their money than I am. I know both of them would pay for this app, and I think most of our listeners probably would too.
Yeah, I definitely would. Go ahead. Sorry, Kaser.
I was going to answer the money monetization question. At this point, I don't have any plans to monetize the app. So this is free, and this is going to be free as far as I am concerned. We'll see in the future.
Great. That's a great attitude, man. That's awesome. And to have and people have been paying for Dogcatcher for a long time, and this has a lot of the features that Dogcatcher has. It's got a UI that I guess I couldn't speak too much. I haven't used Dogcatcher in a long time. But my regular podcast player, I'm not missing anything with your podcast app that's been out for, less than a year. And you've got everything I'm looking for already.
Right. So I want to be respectful of your time, and I understand it's early morning for you, and we did promise you it would be a short interview. So are there any other points that you personally wanted to hit, Kaser, before we say goodnight to each other?
I would actually like to just say that use the app, and if you don't like anything, please let us know. And if you would like to add something to the app, let us know about that as well.
So you're saying us. Who's your team? Could you tell us a little about who else is working on it?
I write the code, and I have another guy that works on the UI and the layout. I would like to put a thanks and thank you out for him as well. He's Maz Ahmed. You can find him on my Google Plus page. Yes?
He does great work.
Yeah. Yes. Whose idea was it to go pink? I just got to know. That's the way I think.
Pink, you are talking about the icon?
Yeah.
He kind of created a few icons and asked me what I would like to see. I picked the blue one and the pink one. That was my choice, and he decided to go with the pink.
Okay, all right.
Because real men are okay with pink.
Very okay.
Sure, yeah, I'm fine with it.
And it has, seven different color themes? Because I am a soulless robot with no human emotion, I chose the black theme. It has different colors that you can pick, it's literally the first podcast app I've seen do that. Such a simple little feature, probably didn't take much to implement, but it really allows you to personalize the experience, and that's what I'm seeing about this app. You're really putting personalization up front, and that's unique in the ecosystem as far as I've seen.
Yeah,
All right. Well, I'm going to take this opportunity to say good night to you then, or in your case, good morning. Thank you for coming and hanging out with us, and thank you for the great work on the app. And seriously, put up a donate button somewhere so I can throw money at you. Put
yeah.
it on your YouTube page or something.
I'll do that.
Because I want to do that.
I'll do that.
Excellent. Thank you, sir. Have a great day. And you're always welcome to come back anytime you feel like it. I know you're a little bit camera shy, but anytime you want to come hang out with us, the door is open. I promise.
Thank you for inviting. Good night.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The most polite man on the face of the planet right there. All right. So I know that was a little... seemed a little rushed, but again, he was when somebody can come on and cut a slice out of the day, you've got to take advantage of it. I don't want to hammer on this anymore, but try the app. You're going to like it. If there's a feature it's missing, like he said, he's so open to feedback. You can contact me if you don't want to contact him. But right there in the app, there's a bug report feature. It opens Gmail, sends an email. You can change the subject line from bug report to feature request. And the biggest one right now for me is the ability to tag things and put them in a playlist and sort them, because I think those of us who listen at high speed, miss that because we can burn through an hour podcast in 45 minutes. So we want the next one to auto start because every 45 minutes we don't have to start and start something else. So I think maybe that's why Dor and I miss that more than Eric does. But right. it's coming in the near future. And it's a great app. Check it out. So
we got to give them one more time. The app is called Castback, CASTBACK.
And if you like the idea of the commenting feature on a podcast, you have to contact your podcast supplier and then tell them, here is the email address. Please ask to have yourself added to the commenting feature in this app.
Right. It's an opt-in feature, and that's by design. We don't want to build a community around somebody else's content without their knowledge or consent.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I will say, now that he's not here, if he was really, okay, this is one of the most solid and good-looking early podcasting apps, period. Okay. If he was evil, what he would do is put up a website with the top features that he wants, that people want done, and then literally put numbers next to them.
A bounty?
But have them like a skewed or grayed out, and then tell people bid on what feature you want next. Because I can tell you right now, I would happily pay for a couple more features. I would personally pay out of my pocket $10 just for the playlist feature. Because once I have the playlist feature, I think then it's done. There's nothing else I need day to day for it to work.
So there are a couple of UI enhancements. Like right now, once you download something, it's really hard to tell what, if in your list of feeds, it's hard to tell what has new things. And even when you open it up, it's hard to tell what you've listened to and what you haven't. So those are all things that can be easily fixed. You make one thing bold and another italic and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But we, meaning Kaysetter and his team, and I've just been pointing and grunting a lot, been focused on core functionality, getting it ready for a public beta. And it's there. And these little things, they're going to come hard and heavy, I'm sure about it. And one of the things that I like that he's done is his UI is as you're playing an episode, it pulls the email address out of the podcast feed. That's a requirement for iTunes. So all podcast feeds have an email address embedded in them. And he displays that right at the top of the window just above the cover art. So there's never any question who to send an email to if you want them to enable the feature. You can just, you know, copy down that email address and send them an email and say, here's this great app. We'd like you to activate it. And it'll happen. We'll look at a more advanced method later on. And right now there's very limited moderation features. That's one of the things we're working on. But these are all things that are going to come. Right now we just wanted to get an app out there into the hands of people and let you know, like Twitter did. It's their community that told them what they needed, and we're hoping that same thing will happen here.
Yeah, this is what's called the agile software development method, which is, I don't care if you think it's not ready. Put it out there. Let's get feedback to it right now. That to me is really the only way a developer can truly make what a user wants because that method encourages feedback. I've said it before with apps. When an app is this young, if you download it and don't like it, perfect. That's great, because now you have the opportunity to help build an app to what it becomes. So all you got to do is go to the Google Play, scroll down in it, and then you'll see his email address. Shoot him an email there and say, I think this would be cool. I think that would be cool. I'm used to this feature. I love that kind of thing. And once in a while, email him and tell him he's doing good work, because nothing makes developers feel better than someone giving them positive feedback, because it never happens.
True.
And based on my interaction with Kayser, and I'm sorry, I've already forgotten. I think it was Ahmet, was the I can't remember the exact name. Rewind and listen to it. But anyway, based on my interactions with him, they're sort of like the mad scientists. I pose a feature, or Eric poses a feature, and like 24 hours later, it's there, fully implemented and beautiful. And I think they're, you know, they're androids. They plug themselves in at night to recharge because the speed and the accuracy with which they work is just not human.
You're right. Yeah, they've been just amazing. I mean, I wish I had them on my team for something. I guess I do have them on my team for something I have a little bit of control in, because everything I've asked they've done. And yeah, you're right. These guys are troopers and hard workers. It's really cool. And thank you, Mark, for coming up with the idea and getting their attention to even bring this to any kind of fruition. And hey, thank you for bringing a great app this week.
You know, every now and then I bring an app. And you whine about something long enough, somebody's going to pay attention. I've been whining about this for years. And I remember saying on the show at one point, take my idea, make money off of it. I don't need any royalties. I don't need any kickbacks. I just want the product. Kayser is creating this is his first product. I assume the reason it's free is because it's going to be his digital resume. He's going to say, I build apps, here's one I built. And that's a great way to do it. And you out there listening, if you're an aspiring app developer, that's the way to do it. Make an app that everybody loves, right? Everybody who is interested in making a simple standing in line at the grocery store game knows the Flappy Bird guy. And they can look him up, and that's his digital resume. So, go out and do something, make something. And if you can't make something, just get a podcast and complain about it for 5 years, and eventually somebody will make it for you. Right?
Yeah. Well, and I'll say this, Eric. If I had this guy at my job, I would walk him outside, walk around the building with him once, and explain to him the whole time, you got to get out of here, dude. You got to get out. You got to be able to go do something better. You don't belong here. Your talents are going wasted. You can do much better things.
But that's why he's not in Maryland. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I actually have had that conversation with coworkers in the past, and they usually think I'm kidding or I'm...
Oh, I was going to say you ignored them every time. Oh.
No, I begged them. I begged them to leave. I said, look, this place will make you bitter. It will drag you down. You can go get more money. You know, you're young.
Oh, Dor.
I have. I'm not going to lie. Why would I lie? I don't get paid to lie. Oh, wait, I don't get paid. Oh, wait, I do. Thank you to everyone who supports this at Patreon.
Okay, so enough about that. Let's get on to some apps. We're already half an hour in. So, Dor, we'll start with you. What is your first app of the night?
Okay, my first app, and here's another app I'd happily pay money for. Take every URL and get rid of everything after the ampersand sign, because I hate that and I despise that and I think it's evil.
Yeah, this has been a big issue with you recently.
It just drives me nuts. Okay, this is not family friendly. This is not family friendly. But if you're about the age of myself, mid-40s, you might remember when you were a little bit younger, games coming out called Grand Theft Auto that literally changed, it introduced new things into the world, like mass callings out of work because this game got released. So it really did change a lot about culture, I'll say. Rockstar released a new app on Android, Grand Theft Auto Liberty City Stories. $3.99, mature 17+. They did it really quietly. Usually they announce and have fanfare, but they didn't. They just released this one. It's on sale right now. It is going to go up probably to about $6 here soon, and then sooner or later come back down. But if you're a fan of this game, you have to jump now on things like the GPD XD handheld system. Butter ran literally perfect. Controls worked flawlessly, exactly as you would expect them to.
This says it has 1 to 5 installs. Anybody who says you're not cutting edge is just wrong.
Well, as soon as I heard about this, I'm done.
I'm sorry. I just logged into the chat. You said this is GTA Liberty City Stories?
Grand Theft Auto GTA Liberty City Stories.
Wow.
And because they have like now 4 of them released, I want to say. San Andreas, GTA, Vice City, and this one now. And again, surprisingly, aka not really, no surprise, there's no video in the Play Store.
Must be great.
Must be.
While just a brief diversion while we're on the subject of things that are not family friendly, geeks, don't take your children to go see Deadpool this week. Oh, don't do it.
Yeah.
You may think it's just another Marvel comic book character. It's not. And if you don't know the Deadpool storyline, just be prepared. This is an adult movie. Go enjoy it as an adult. Do not take your 9-year-old.
Huh.
Don't.
Do not take your 9-year-old. Do not take your 13-year-old. Honestly, don't take your 15-year-old. And if your kid's 16, I would still encourage him not to go. Because there's nothing in my mind that's telling me this is going to be anything except raunchy, ultra-violent. Because Deadpool can literally be cut into pieces, and he can come back to life. So I expect there to be nastiness. Just
And there's going to be crass humor, and there's going to be boobs. That's a given.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, thanks for the heads up. I would have never even, I'm not a follower of comic books much, so I never heard of Deadpool until I started seeing these ads and things everywhere. I'm a little miffed that GTA Liberty City Stories cannot be installed on my Dell Venue 10, though. Bummer.
I don't know what to tell you, but I will say Deadpool might have some of the best marketing of any movie ever. Like they put up a billboard in one city. All it was a emoji icon of it was a skull and crossbones next to a emoji icon of poop, and then with the letter L next to it. So the dead skull and crossbones L. Dead,
yeah.
Poo-ul, Deadpool. Yeah, that kind of thing is just, there's a lot of thought that went into that.
All right, so back to Grand Theft Auto Liberty City Stories. On my screen, only available, compatible with my Nexus 5, not compatible with my flagship Moto X, not compatible with Zenfone, not compatible with my Transformer tablet, which is fairly old, so I'm okay with that. Maybe that's why it only has 1 to 5 installs.
It is available for my old Nexus and my new Nexus, the 5X it'll run on, and the Samsung Note 4. But
okay. Me, the Jide Remix Ultra, Jide Remix Mini, T-Mobile One Plus, GameStick, the Hard Kernel Odroid, the Motorola X First Generation, the i6 laptop, tablet, the dual boot tablet. I can tell you what's going on. It's so new, they literally limit the number of devices that can go on. In case there's issues, you won't have massive complaints. And as they tighten it up, as they get less bugs, as they get the code more solid, they will make it for more devices. But it's just, with games like this, they do it right. They don't just release it for everyone, because then people go crazy about it, complaining, not working. I want a refund. It sucked. It was the worst game ever.
That makes sense to me, Dor. I will buy it now, even though it's not going to play on the device today.
No, just wait. Well, it's
40%. No, yeah, 40% off. You know, I'm a little bit tightwad tech, too. So I'm buying it today. I've had luck with the other, I think, San Andreas, I think, or Vice City or something I bought before. It worked fine. So I have faith in them. And Rockstar, they're a quality brand name when it comes to developers. So looking forward to it. As long as it's GameStick compatible, which I don't know, and I hope it is.
All right, so let's move on to your first app of the night, Eric, the executive.
Well, my first app comes from either a Google Plus post or an email that we had that you'll probably end up reading here in a little bit. But this is called The Executive. We haven't brought this yet, have we?
Yep.
I don't believe so.
Did you say yes or no?
I'm positive we did.
Okay. All right. I couldn't remember if we brought it last week or not. That would have been when we did. I'll post it in here anyway.
Yeah, we brought this at least 20 shows ago, I want to say. Episode 412 was when it came out.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
February 7th was when the email came in that he's talking about.
Well, it came in before the email, the app.
Okay, so we looked at this before the email came in.
Yeah, okay. It was a while
ago. Okay. Anyway, the executive, there was a nice email, and I can't remember who it was from. But basically, he said this is
Adam Flint.
Yeah, he called me out, and he's from across the pond, I think he said, and it's the true life story of me working my civic duties while fighting werewolves in the office. I would like to say, Adam, yes, you're kind of right, but my job is not nearly as difficult as this game. I installed the game, I bought the game, and I played the game, and yeah, this is a tough one for me to play. I don't have much luck with the fighting games, I guess. I don't know. But it's cool. It's neat.
Rated T for Teen, Noodle Cake Studios, Inc.
Yeah.
$2.99.
Noodle Cake is like one of the people. The one thing about this game that I honestly didn't like was that it was a bit zoomed in for me. When playing it, I kept thinking, I wish it was back just a little bit more so I could see what was coming ahead of me.
Yeah,
kind of thing. And honestly, I do remember somebody else saying that when we brought it the first time. But graphically, really like pretty looking. But again, it is T for Teen, just to remind people out there. Yeah, it's a little violent.
And there's no video. So
no, there's a video. So that means it's not that good a game. Not as good a game as the one Door just brought, because it had no video.
I pushed the wrong link because there's no video on for me.
I'll put the link I got in the chat. It was the same thing. Slightly the same.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, same thing.
I got no video.
Huh. Hey, my first one is the video.
I know when app pages load really slow for me, which happens sometime on the show, the video will not show up even being there.
Shift refresh, there's a video. Go figure.
Huh.
Yeah, and it's $2.99. It's the kind of game, if you look at it and you think it all, you're going to like it. It's Noodle Cake. I feel very confident in saying to spend the $2.99, you will enjoy yourself.
Just randomly, one of the apps right beside it that I saw, Steel Street Fight, looks really cool. So I'm going to make that my pick without having played it. Just watching the video looks pretty cool. Steel Street Fight.
Mark's just surfing the internet during the show. He's like, yeah,
Well, it was just right there beside it. Yeah. And it's my kind of game. I like the robot punching games.
Okay, now do you mean Steel Street Fighter Club?
Yes, Steel Street Fighter Club Pro. Probably a non-pro version. I just clicked the ad right next to it. Ads work, people, in the similar column.
Yeah, it's like this one to me, in the very beginning, almost reminds me of like old school Street Fighter, little icons in the bottom, pick your character, but this is a 3D fight.
This reminds me of Rock'em Sock'em Robots, but in a virtual space.
I can't remember what it was, and it's totally irrelevant, so I'm going to tell the story anyway. But like in 1996, I used to play this game. It was one of the shareware games that went around, and it was about fighting robots. And it was one of my favorite games.
It was Side.
I don't think so.
It was 3D?
No, it wasn't 3D. It was pre-3D. And it was... I remember you couldn't pay for it. It was shareware, but you couldn't pay for it. And at the end, there was this message about how the UPC code is actually the 666 number of the beast. And the guy wrote the game to deliver that message. But that aside, whether you believe that the UPC code is going to send you to hell, the game was amazing. I wish I could remember the name because I would love to put that in an emulator. It'd probably be like in a little 320 by 240 window now. Anyway. All of that to say, I like this kind of game.
Well, look where we're at, Mark, after 20 years of the UPC code. I think he was dead on.
He could be. He might have had a point. Okay. Now it's time for an email. I'm a little short on email, people. You guys need to get with the program here and send me some emails so that I can read it on the show. But this one from Todd Evans is a heartbreaking story. Says, hi guys, I just wanted to say I lost a little bit of my will to live today when I saw this. And the this that he's talking about is SwiftKey is joining, Microsoft acquires SwiftKey. Says, I'll be shopping for a new keyboard. I'm having a hard time coping with the news. I should have never gotten into this relationship in the first place. I knew she would disappoint me eventually. I should have seen this coming. I was so blinded by love. I thought this could never happen to us. If I could be so bold as to ask for a little matchmaking help in this new stage of my life. I dated Ginger Keyboard briefly. She was very nice and had a great personality, but I always came back to SwiftKey. She really knew how to take care of me. I never could bring myself to go out with Swipe. We just didn't click on an emotional level, not to mention intellectual. Maybe I'm just having a midlife crisis and should embrace it. There are plenty of emoji keyboards that would love to have a sugar daddy. I know that if there's any group of people who could support me during these dire times, it would be the three of you. Your 2 cents are worth a million. Keep up the awesome shows, Todd Evans.
Okay, I gotta admit to Todd, I had a little fling with Flexi, and she was really cool. I mean, fun, but there's no long term with Flexi. Things just start to fall apart quickly after, just when you think you know her, it's kind of like Taylor Swift. So, you know, and Swift is probably not a good word right now, but I would say Google keyboard. No. Oh, door.
Come on now, Mark, you got to do this right. Mark, did you see my reply to Todd?
I did. Can we ask about, okay, hello, Todd. Can we ask, what was it about your previous relationship that made you so happy? What did you become accustomed to in your previous mate? And he replied, Mark closed the email. I would probably have to say it was the word prediction. It just became so ingrained in my typing habits and was so accurate. Many times I could write nearly an entire message without having to type more than just a few letters. I've been using SwiftKey for nearly the entire time I've had an Android phone. I think I was the first using it on Eclair. I suppose that could be part of the problem with switching as well. So on a personal note, I can say that when you find that person who can truly finish your sentences for you, it's really a magical thing. And I understand that that's going to be difficult to replace. But personally, I know you have already spurned her. Swipe does have excellent prediction and is a darn good keyboard.
Well, did you see my last reply, Todd?
Maybe I did not. I guess not.
Okay, my last reply was after he said that, you know, the word prediction was that I said, hello, Todd. Ah, and I guess you don't swipe. You're going to have to set realistic expectations with your new spouse. It is going to take time for them to learn your habits, but for you know it, they'll be ... You guessed it, finishing your sentences. I suggest TouchPal or Flesky just to start, but then of course we will try to think of some more good ones. But prediction is hard. Now, certain apps can link into your email or your Twitter or your Facebook and learn what your writing habits are, learn what common things that you say. So I definitely encourage you to check out apps like Flesky or TouchPal and link them to your social accounts. That will make the word prediction accelerate much quicker to a acceptable level, because I do understand starting with a new keyboard, that prediction in the beginning will be insanely off. You will literally ask yourself, who is this person I'm with? I don't even know them. They don't even know me. You know, they think you like mustard. You hate mustard. You know, so it's going to be a hard thing.
I understand. I feel your pain. Breaking up is hard to do always. Right. But I do have to say, Todd, excellent email.
Yeah.
Yes. And for shame, anyone who curses SwiftKey for what they did, hey, they got to offer a lot of money, take it. But I do question Microsoft's acumen for thinking purchasing SwiftKey is going to help with their AI. I don't think they understand the definition of AI.
Just saying. Yeah. So around the horn, your recommendation. Mine is the Google keyboard, because it does have good prediction in my experience.
I'm a one-woman man, and then the woman for me is Swipe.
TouchPal, because I can hold down the space bar, which is a big, huge, fat button, and get voice dictation very easily. Very good voice dictation. Very good pre diction, and a customizable top menu to where you can actually get a built-in clipboard and go through your history of copying and paste only certain things if you want. those three things make TouchPal for me hard to duplicate and replace, even though if you look for TouchPal, it says it's a emoji keyboard. While it has emojis in it, it's not an emoji keyboard yet.
Okay.
I just, I was someplace today where many people go, and one of the people who was there with me was having an entire conversation using emojis and no words. And this was a grown-up person, not a teenager. And I was just amazed that the emoji keyboard is such a thing. We have so devolved in our society that we don't actually need words anymore. As long as we have stickers, we're good to go.
Well, can I ask you a stupid sticker question? With TouchPal, I can, for instance, type the word Mike, M-I-C, and up in the prediction menu, before I hit space, there will be the emoji icon for Mike. So it will let you use normal words to find emojis, which my son, I found out, much to my disappointment, seems to absolutely love that feature. And I keep getting emoji-filled messages. The only words in them is words like emergency cheeseburger, which I still don't know if what the hell that's supposed to mean. But
it means the boy's hungry.
Yeah,
I don't know. He just randomly says to me, "Emergency cheeseburger," and I don't know.
Makes you wonder if he needs one or if he's receiving one. Or it makes me wonder.
It just reaffirms to me that there will be no need for a paternity test anytime soon. There is clearly something wrong with this child, and I recognize it all too well.
That's awesome.
So were you
behind that person in line at Walmart or in front?
I'm not going to give any more details than I already have, other than these were not emojis. I misspoke. They were stickers. And so in order for this person to communicate the message, they would search for like angry, and a list of pictures would pop up and they would click on angry. It seemed like a whole lot more work to me,
yeah,
frankly,
yeah,
to do what they were doing.
But they were being creative, and the person on the other end probably is impressed by the creativity.
No, come on now. Let's be realistic. Maybe the person on the other end is the love of their life,
yeah,
who happens to only speak some African dialect that there's no translator nearby, so they're communicating to each other in pictures.
Oh, yeah, it's bringing the world, making the world smaller. That's good inclusion, Dor. That's probably exactly correct.
I'm sure it is. Why wouldn't it be?
Yeah, that's what I'm going to go with. Yeah.
What is the eternal optimist, Dor to Dor Geek?
Sure. Yeah.
Dor's going to have to bring the rest of the apps because I'm flush out. I even brought one from the attic today, and I don't even have anything to pass up a used up app that I brought earlier.
So I'm going to read one more email because it's in direct relation to a conversation we had either last week or the week before. So I'll do that, and then Dor can take us out with his scattergun apps. And this is from Bill, who takes us to task about USB-C yet again. We read Bill's email before, so here's a follow-up on it. And he actually sent two emails that kind of went together. And so I'm going to do a little bit of cherry picking between the two. But he's talking about quick charging. Says you're correct that you can do fast charging with either volts or watts. You lauded Qualcomm technology because it supports 12 volt charging. That would be me. Well, USB-C supports 5, 12, and 20 volt charging. The Qualcomm tech is a dead end for two reasons. It's proprietary and requires a fee to be paid to Qualcomm, and it's limited by the old style USB cables, and therefore 2.4 watts no matter the voltage. The USB-C standard supports higher wattage at 5 volts and also supports 3 volts and all at 3 watts. This allows you to use one charger and one cable to charge everything from a headset to a laptop when they support USB-C. Eventually, you can have one brick and one set of cables to charge all your devices. Also, USB-C allows you to use one port for many other things such as HDMI video because it's not only a charging standard but also a very fast data standard. My Pixel will charge from even an old 2.4-watt charger. I went on a business trip once and forgot my charging brick for the Pixel, I was able to charge it from a cell phone charger with a USB-C cable. Granted, the charge would not keep up, and I was while I was using it, and I was losing about 8 to 10% per hour, but it charged back up overnight. USB-C is the future for all devices. Cell phones will probably not be implement the higher voltage, since 3 watts can charge them plenty fast. Tablets will probably use 12 volts and laptops 20, and everything will interoperate. Also, you can sling data and power in either direction over USB-C. For example, I can charge my cell phone from my Pixel. And I accidentally closed the email again. There was one other line there. I'm just going to say it was probably a really good tagline there. What? Because I've completely lost it. Wait, here it is. For example, I can charge my cell phone from my Pixel. I won't buy any new products, cell phone, tablet, laptop that don't have USB-C in it. It is the future. So, Bill, I'm not going to disagree with anything you said,
right?
But you also proved my point, because so many times there you said the future, and I'm interested in what is the now. Well, I will buy USB-C eventually, but not now.
Right, and I do believe, Mark, thank God you're here, because you know. I do believe also he used more than a couple future adverbs, like eventually.
Yes.
Because, yes, he's right. Eventually it will be. And I can't wait for that day. And I'm really happy we have people like him insisting on having that in his tech. Because thanks to people like him, it will be more ubiquitous sooner.
Yeah.
If that made any sense.
I've got two comments on this. I would say the first comment is testing is the future, and the future starts with you. And I also would have to say I'm sold on USB-C. And, yeah, I hope it's on everything I have until we get to the wireless version of it and where it's all, you know, wireless charging. That's fine. Just a little update. I'm noticing not so good battery life on the 5X recently. So
a Nexus with poor battery? I'm shocked.
Shocked.
Okay. No, wait, Eric. First off, were you kind of like sarcastically calling him a beta tester? You, Mr. Nexus owner?
No. When the future starts with No, not him.
Okay. Just to make clear of that.
No, that I am a beta tester. Well, not only just because of the Nexus, definitely because of the Project Fi. It's very apparent that we are all beta testers, us Project Fi users, and I'm fine with that. But no, that's a portal. That's a portal thing. That's the tagline for the game.
Okay, sure. So I mean, except for the battery, is the rest of the device acceptable?
Yeah.
Aggravating? What?
The only time I saw any lag on this device so far is while I was reading. Okay, this is so weird. So I was on an Android website, and they were knocking the 5X because of scrolling issues. And I'm like, wow, I've never had scrolling issues on this. I don't know what they're talking about. And then I tried scrolling on that website, and I don't know what they've got running in the background, but whatever it is, that website scrolled like crap. It was like all of the people who worked for, I don't know if it was Android Enthusiasts or I don't know, whatever. It was some website that talks about Androids, and it seems like they must have all had a 5X to test, and they were all given their 3-month review, like, hey, we've been using this, these are my thoughts. And I think it was split about half and half of them liking it and not liking it, but they kept talking about the scrolling problem, and I think it's because they were scrolling on their own website that was causing that problem, because I've still... After that, I haven't had any problems anywhere else other than on that site. It was just weird to me. It was odd.
Eric, are you having a problem tonight?
Yes, I have no video.
Well, no, because I'm pretty sure you're the guy, like, 5 times now you've hit your mic stand.
It sounds like he's playing Polaris.
Am I hitting my mic stand?
Yes, you're banging the crap out of it tonight.
I wonder why I don't hear that. Usually, I don't know. It's not that.
I don't know. But
so I do want to one other thing. Bill also sent us a long email saying that we screwed up on volts versus amps, and I'm kind of a Nazi about that. I'm surprised that if somebody misspoke, I let it go, and if I misspoke, I must have been having an outer body experience at the time. But just a quick review on that. I think we always like to talk about the flow of electrons in terms of the flow of water. So voltage is how much force is going, and amperage is how big the tank is. So a 3-amp charger will not overpower anything because amps is just how much it can provide, how deep the tank is. A 12 volt charger will overpower a 5 volt charger because you're pushing it at a rate that it cannot handle. So you could blow out the pipe if you push more water than it can handle, but you can never overfill something just because your tank is bigger. So volts versus amps.
Right. And I would say it wouldn't shock me, Eric, if any site with the word Android in its main domain you would go to and it would run like crap because virtually all of those sites are incredibly ridiculous with the amount of everything on the page, the amount of JavaScript, the amount of images, the amount of just cruft, the amount of crap, the amount of ads are obscenely absurd. So it doesn't shock me if it goes slow on those sites. I find
mobile browsing just miserable in general. And it's the scrolling thing. You're pushing, and nothing's happening because you're waiting for some ad to load.
Well, what I always do now, and it's been baked into my head for months now, is when I click the link, I watch the progress meter. I don't touch the screen until the progress meter's done, and I still wait like 3 seconds. Mm. And that's the only time I get anything even remotely, I don't even want to use the word usable. That's too kind. It doesn't make me go crazy. But I will say, Eric, if you haven't tried Chromer, Chromer, I definitely encourage you to try that. That is a slim down Chrome tab, as I believe it's called, is the technology it's using. That might give you slight better, at least initial load experience, but the scrolling thing, it probably won't help.
Yeah, I haven't had any problems with it until I went to that site. So I'm not sure. I'm just not going to go back to that site, I guess.
I'm calling them out. Ars Technica is the worst mobile experience of any website I've ever frequented.
Yeah, you know what? You've got me interested. While Thor's giving his next stab, I'm going to try to refind that site and try to call him out.
Okay. The first app I brought was a game. I do have more games, but I'm going to first do the regular apps first, then do the games. This first app is called Ping Tools Network Utility. This is more or less one of those suites of tools you can download on your phone. It will allow you to do a lot of network analyzing and testing. It will tell you, like, for instance, your local IP, the gateway IP, and then the external IP. It will show your signal strength over a continuous line graph, network usage over time over a line graph. Tell you all of your IPv6, IPv4 broadcast, MAC address, DNS information. You can even do things like UPnP scanner, port scanner, trace routes, pings, Bonjour browser, blah, 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 blah. There's more than a couple of these out there. This one I liked because of its simple interface, very clean, very easy to understand. I've been using this one now for a couple weeks whenever I get the chance, and it does seem to do everything I need to do pretty quickly, pretty securely. Not a lot of waiting, not a lot of confusion, just works.
I've used this before, and a cell phone can be a useful tool for mobile network troubleshooting, and that is a solid app because, as the name says, it's all the ping tools you need.
Exactly, and it's by StreamSoft. Obviously marked E for everyone, completely free, no in-app purchases. I like now when I look for tools, noticing if it has in-app purchases or not, because I know right away, am I going to get everything or am I going to get teased at some point in time? And then I always go down to the very bottom and I look at when the last time the app was updated and its current version. This one was updated February 2nd, version 3.4. So it's still maintained, still up and running, and it comes out of Russia, where we all know they make good stuff, right?
Yeah. I'm installing this right now. I want to do some work around the house with my Wi-Fi connections and optimize them so I'm ready for summer and I'm ready for a whole backyard full of free-flowing Wi-Fi waves throughout the backyard. And hopefully this will help me check out my levels and my strength as I move the wireless router throughout the inside of the house and get it closer to the backyard.
Gotcha.
Android Central was the vilifying website.
Yes, that one's pretty terrible too.
Yeah, how could it be bad? They have a podcast. Oh wait.
Yeah.
Okay. This next app, I was looking into because there was a guy in our Google Plus community who was complaining about scheduling and time tracking not being as good as he said on the iPhone. And I asked him like 20 questions trying to figure out, what do you mean? Okay, how is it not? What do you expect? What do you need? And I'm still not sure I truly understand what he means, but here's an app called Hot Schedules by Hot Schedules, E for everyone, $2.99, no in-app purchase, so it's a one-time fee. This also has a web interface, so you can access it from your desktop browser, where it basically has the ability to do group scheduling, single people scheduling, enter in shift, so it's aka repetitive schedules, or reoccurring schedules. You can collaborate with other people to see their calendar or their schedules. I did like the look of this. I thought it was not crazy looking, because when it comes to productivity software, you don't want crazy bells, crazy whistles, ridiculous animations. You just want simplicity. And this has a complete staff you can keep track of, a roster, digital logbook, time off, pro forma stats kind of thing. This to me seems like a very complete solution. I only have myself to play with it, but it seems like it's decent. Updated again, February 4th, current version 2.4. So it's definitely being kept up. So I thought this was definitely kind of cool, kind of worth looking at. $2.99 is not much of an investment when it comes to schedules, because most of the time schedules have to do with making money.
Yeah, this looks... I'm trying to find a use case for myself on this one. But it looks very nice.
Yeah, I'm just not getting it. I don't see what it can do that Google Calendar can't do.
And that was one of my questions was, what does Google not do?
Mm-hmm.
Google does not do time tracking. I'm not sure how good this one does time tracking. But I know with the pre-forma, at least it can give you some sort of statistical analysis of what you've done. I don't know if that's the same thing. But that's the only kind of thing, and I really don't see that being hugely needed. Hence, this only has, 10,000 installs? Oh, 100,000 installs, so more than I thought. Okay, now let's go to the games. The first game I gotta bring, I'm sorry, it's one of those things I gotta bring just because it was something back in the day. Adventures of Mana. This is a quote-unquote complete port of the old game. Beautiful, gorgeous, by Square Enix, Adventures of Mana. If you remember this game at all, you should have already bought this before me even saying something, because this is a port with better looking graphics, is what I'll say, from what I remember, for Adventures of Mana. The quote-unquote bad thing, $13.99. So, what I wish the Google Play Market had is what the Steam Store has, which is you have the wish list on Google Play, and I know I've added stuff to the wish list, but it never notified me when the price dropped. Maybe they've changed that. If that's the case, go check out Adventures of Mana, add it to your wish list, and let's all see together if we get notified, because I'm not spending $14 for this.
I must not have been a gamer back then. I don't remember this at all. What machine was this for? PC?
I want to say it was Genesis is what I want to say.
Yeah, that's one I didn't have.
That's the only thing coming to mind. Okay, next game here. And this one is the kind of game I'm really not even sure how it's pronounced. Get rid of all this crap after the ampersand sign because it's giving me a tumor. Hit enter. Okay. My son, one of the other things he says besides emergency cheeseburger is he also says the word, instead of cheese, he says chez. So as soon as I saw this, that's the only thing going through my head, but it's called, I believe, Chelsea.
Yeah.
Maybe?
Chelsea.
It's a C-H-E-L apostrophe Z. The only way I can really explain this is it's definitely old school S, almost Legend of Zelda. In its bitness, you know what I mean? It definitely looks like it's a NES-type title kind of thing.
Or would you say they're getting down to bitness?
They are absolutely getting down to bitness.
And this one is by Emergency Studios, funny you should mention.
I didn't even notice that. And my son didn't tell me about this. What I did like about this game is it had on-screen controls, which made it very easy for me to map to my gamepad. The graphics were pushed back, unlike the other game earlier on. These are far back graphics, so it's very easy to see a lot of different things on the screen. The controls were very responsive. I was actually impressed by them. Your goal is to basically escape from this facility. You have to find four major keys. Once you get to four major keys, you have to get to fifth major key and then fight the main boss, the big boss. I do believe there's separate bosses for each stage. Don't know, haven't gotten that far yet. But this was definitely a fun game. They kept saying Metroid-like in the one review I read for this. I guess, sure, I'll say Metroid-esque, but, you know, not really.
That's a big boss in the one level. And there's a door level, a door maze level.
As there should be.
Yeah, every game should have a door maze level.
Yeah, but the main boss in the screenshot in the video reminds me almost of, I want to say Dr. Wily, maybe is his name, from Mega Man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like a mad scientist in a gigantic machine trying to kill you. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you'll have that, I guess. Okay, got one more game here. Well, at least one more game. I'm not going to lie. Why would I lie? I'm not going to lie to you guys. Okay, this game is called Templar Battle Force RPG. It's 30% off, $6.99. I mean, I'm really almost shocked at some of these prices I'm seeing for these games in the store, but obviously somebody is buying them. But I will say now, games app developers can offer discount codes, I want to say, or like gratis copies to people of paid games, so where they can basically give reviewers free games when it costs money, or you know, give people discount codes kind of thing. And that's one thing I also suggest Kaiser to do. If he ever wants to charge money for the app, he has to take the app off the store right now and republish it and mark it as a paid product, but then with the cost of free. Because once you go free, you can never charge money. This app to me looked, this is the real reason I checked this out. Once I watched the video of this game, I understood why it wasn't a completely free game. Really good graphics, look like really good, solid gameplay. It just, quote-unquote, works. You have that ghost-like, you can only see the things so close to you, and then once you walk, you can start to see things further and further away kind of thing. That was the first thing I saw about this game I really liked. Graphics are good. Not great, not spectacular, but really good. Solid, good. This is the kind of game I could literally see putting on a big screen TV with a gamepad and playing it and having fun.
The gameplay looks really, really different than anything I've seen before, with the like radar that spins around to show your way a little bit. Sorry, Mark, go ahead.
Yeah, well, it's an overhead Legend of Zelda kind of view. I don't think Dor quite described that, but it's kind of a walking through a map. Yeah, it's Zelda, but not the game, just the gameplay. It's I don't know. It's weird and cool at the same time, I guess.
Yeah, it's definitely a slower pace than Zelda, because when you hit the button in Zelda, you're swinging the sword. In this one, it's more of an RPG-ish, I don't want to say turn-based, but it's more of a strategy-based game where you basically pick to shoot, and then your guy just shoots when he shoots. So you don't have that super hyper fine-grained control over combat, but you do have enough to, you know what you're doing, plan out attacks, strategize kind of thing. So yeah, I just thought this was definitely a fun game. $6.99, again, this is another one I'm going to add to my wish list, because 30% off is not enough for me. It needs to be like, 75% off, 80% off, something like that.
Just something you said. You ever remember playing Dragon's Lair back in the day, the first Laserdisc arcade game?
Yeah.
You were talking about you move and then the guy does its thing. It was basically watching a video, a movie that occasionally you could interact with. It was the worst gameplay experience, but the coolest graphics of its day.
Yeah, that game made me so mad back in the day because it was all about pattern memorization.
Right, and timing, and you know, you have to move your joystick to the left at exactly the right moment, and that is the entire sum of your action. You moved your joystick to the left, and then you waited 45 seconds.
Right, move your joystick to the left, right, now, and then if you didn't get it right there, you were dead.
Yeah,
Joy, yeah.
Dirk something or other was the character. Anyway, it's just
Dirk the Daring.
Dirk Daring. Yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna throw out one more because I've thrown out a lot of money games. This is a free game. Beautiful. Again, Noodle Cake Studio. And there is a video, but I swear this is still a fun game. Alto's Adventure, Noodle Cake Studio, E for Everyone, no in-app purchases, completely free. This is a beautiful, again, very far away skiing type game where basically your goal is to basically, in far off in the background, be as graceful as possible, picking up power-ups and avoiding obstacles. I just thought this, to me, was a very simple, fun, beautiful game. And it isn't like it's crazy high-def graphics. It's just very stylized graphics.
Yeah, it's really neat looking. It looks like there's more and more games with this style. I don't know how to put it. Get Alto, A-L-T-O, apostrophe S, Adventure, Alto's Adventure, and just look at that and check it out. And go skiing.
It's kind of a paper craft.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, very cool game. To quote my mom, it's gorgeous. It's gorgeous.
Sit down, have a cup of coffee, and play the game. It's gorgeous.
Exactly, it's gorgeous. Enjoy yourself. It's good, clean fun. We all do it.
TechCrunch says that it satisfies the soul, so that's good.
Yeah, but they don't say it's a good game.
Tech who?
Yeah.
Are they one of the ones with the really bad websites?
They probably scroll slow, yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they do. Where, if you go to podnos.com, you don't have to worry about that, because we host all of our content ourselves, and we don't go JavaScript crazy.
Once again, doors on top of things, 1 to 5 installs. Mm-hmm. The man is a machine.
Well, we're going
to
give it 6 right here, so.
Well, and if you go to patreon.com/androidappaddicts. Tonight, I did release completely for free for the world my apps in the queue list tonight. So every app that I would have brought, could have brought, and in fact I did bring, was in that list tonight. I believe there is still one or two more apps that I didn't bring. If you want to see that kind of bucket every single week, then you have to become a Patreon supporter. And thanks to Patreon supporter, we don't have to do repetitive breaking in this show and interrupt the flow to talk about, Harvey's baked hams, the best baked hams on the market. Nobody can beat Harvey. You know, we don't have to do any of that kind of thing. So I want to definitely thank again everyone from Patreon and everyone who goes to podcast.com/Amazon.
That was way too short, because if we really were to have a sponsor like Harvey's Baked Hams, we'd probably go on for at least 2 to 4 minutes talking about the baked hams, and we could all go around telling ham stories every episode.
Well, yeah, and what I hate now is on some of the more preppy, I guess, I don't know, popular, more commercial, more Hollywood podcast, whatever. When they have an ad, each host says like a 18-20 second blurb, and it's so painfully, absurdly obvious. It is extremely choreographed and written for them, because nobody talks like that. You know, it is just, it is to me, if anything is going to bring down the popularity of podcasts, if anything is going to bring, you know, shame upon podcasts, if anything's going to drive down numbers from podcasts, it's going to be horribly over-advertised podcast.
I don't know. You guys are lightweights. A 4-minute ad. If I didn't give Linux Academy 7 minutes, I didn't feel I was doing my job. I mean, you guys just.
That was a choreographed number one, Mark.
That's true.
You would just literally go over your feelings and emotions and what you experienced in it.
Yeah. Well,
To me, that's not an ad. That's an inline testimonial. That's different.
I mean, you could do an inline testimonial about all the different seasonings of those hams. I mean, they don't come in just original now.
No, don't you know? And you know, when you get the kind with the pineapples on it, it makes it really sweet and juicy.
The barbecue is great. Uh-huh. It's not too sweet.
Okay, moving on. That was a slew of games from the Door-to-Door Geek. That was a Patreon endorsement from the Door-to-Door. I think we checked all the boxes. We complained about other podcasts. we did ads. We encouraged you to go to Patreon. We mentioned Amazon. Yeah, we're good. Checklist complete. Eric, do you have any final thoughts before we say goodnight?
I want to thank everybody for listening and enjoying the podcast as much as we enjoy putting it out there for you guys.
All right. Door, any other final words from you?
Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Eric. Thank you, listener. Thank you. I can't pronounce your name.
Kaiser Ijaz.
him. Thank you very much for your persistence, for your patience, and for your quality of application.
And I've been mispronouncing his name for 2 years now, but that was the first time I actually spoken to him, and I said, say it for me. And, oh, okay. Now I have to reprogram myself. Sorry.
Yeah, it's like trying to write 2016, but you keep writing 2015.
You should have heard the way he was saying Mark, though, so really, it's okay.
Or, you know, trying to say, not say the Linux show that's not about Linux, but about life in the context. thanks for hanging out with us, folks. We appreciate it. You are truly the reason we do all this. I mean, Eric and Dor and I could get together every week and talk, but we wouldn't need cameras and stuff, and it would be a whole lot simpler. So you are literally the reason we do this. So we appreciate the fact that you like to listen to it. Tell us what you think. AAA@podnuts.com is the email address. If you like it, tell everybody else what you think. Go give us a rating and review. And I know this is an Android app podcast, but it would really help us out if you actually went to the iTunes store and left us a rating and review. I understand that's across enemy lines and that you might need to shower afterwards, but it would be beneficial to the podcast. And of course, throw money at Dor, Patreon, Amazon, wherever else you can, because he deserves it. We'll see you next week, because that ends this episode of the Android App Addicts Podcast.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.